Listen up, people. That's right. It's time to listen to the sparks of bliss in your life. I'm your host and life coach, Caroline de Posada from Miami, Florida. And this podcast is an invitation to join me in upgrading our mindset, wellness, and relationships so that together we create a life that unlocks our bliss. Join me each week as we explore practical strategies, inspiring stories, and the moments of clarity, or as we like to call them, los momenticos, that make the world a little more magical. Consider this your weekly dose of wisdom in your pocket. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey, listeners, welcome to episode number 50 of Blissin' Up. So I've been thinking a lot about this idea of taking aligned action. Not only is aligned action the theme we set here at Blissin' Up for April, but it is also one of the pillars of my DARE framework, which I've been talking about in other episodes. DARE is this concept that once you have established a solid foundation in your life, once you are past the getting out of survival mode and really stepping into a higher version of yourself, you get to use this framework of DARE to live bigger, to thrive, to dream bigger, to just expand your circle of influence, expand your capacity. It's really a next level kind of framework. It's like really taking you just to the next level of your life. And aligned action is one of the pillars of that framework. So I've been thinking a lot about this concept, and I have to tell you, it is so powerful and so important that I think I'm going to do an entire class on this. I'm thinking I'm going to host like a masterclass or a group cohort, something. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like yet, but I know that it's coming because I just need to teach this stuff. It's really important. It's really powerful. But for today, I was thinking, you know, sometimes we throw words out, especially coaches. Coaches do this a lot. Like you throw what's called coach speak. You throw these words out and people are like, I don't even know what that means. You know, like what on earth is she talking about? And I was thinking that aligned action could be one of those words that you just throw out there and people don't really understand what it means. So I thought we'd start today by actually defining it and giving you three immediate shifts that you can make in your daily life that turn your life into more of an aligned action life and less of a robotic, check the boxes, finish your to-do list kind of life. And hopefully that will serve you very well. So to begin, well, what is the definition of align or alignment? I looked it up in the dictionary and it has two definitions. One is to arrange something in a straight line or to bring something into agreement or cooperation, right? So to align is to bring something into agreement or cooperation, and alignment is to be in a position of agreement or cooperation or in a straight line. And this is a nuance because life is not a straight line and success doesn't work in a straight line format. So at first, when I looked at this, like when I really started to study this, I was like, well, maybe alignment isn't the right word, right? Because we don't want to confuse you or trick you into thinking that your life is going to be linear and that there's no room for detours or anything like that. That's not real life. But then when I looked at that second part of the definition, to bring into agreement or cooperation, I realized that a line does not have to be straight. But if it is in a position of agreement or cooperation with a pattern or a route, then it is in alignment. It is following the pattern or the route. That is so important. So then I guess the next question becomes, alignment then with what? What are we aligning with? And I would say that it is alignment with your deepest truths, with your priorities, your values, your principles, your dreams, your goals, your definition of success. That is what it means to take aligned action. And oftentimes, we take mindless action. We do things, and we do them because we've always done them. We do them because they're part of the routine. You know, you get up, you go to work, you go to school, you just go about your day. You know, you eat the same things, you drink the same things, you talk to the same people, you get in your car, you get out of your car, you come back, you watch TV at the end of the day, you go to sleep, you rinse, repeat, and you just do that day after day after day. You don't actually take the time to question, why are you doing this? What is it for? What are you working toward? What is the purpose of these actions? And we take so many actions in a given day that, you know, most of them are habits we don't even think about, right? Like, we just take it for granted. But what if we were to think about some of them? What if we were to be mindful throughout our day? What if we were really trying to live a life of intention? Could we notice what actions we are taking and why we're taking them and turn them into aligned action instead of robotic action? And what about the actions we, quote unquote, have to take? The things we feel like we don't have a choice in the matter. They're just the way that life has worked out, the way our circumstances are. Well, could we turn those have to's into aligned choices? These are the questions I've been asking. So today, I want to share with you three mindset shifts that hopefully will turn your actions into aligned actions. It'll flip that switch for you. And I think this is going to be very important. So the first one is turning what is repetitive into something that is ritualistic. Now, the first time I ever heard about this was through the book Effortless. Oh gosh, I forgot the guy's name. Greg McKeon. But he wrote this book. He wrote two books. One is Essentialism. Great book. I actually wrestled a lot with that book because there were some things of essentialism that I didn't want to adopt. So I wrestled with that book. And the other book that he wrote is Effortless. And Effortless was grabbing what is essential and creating an effortless, systematic life. I thought it was a great book. And it was the first time that I had ever heard of this concept of turning habits into rituals. He put into words for me something that I think I had done intuitively in some areas of my life, but the moment that he put that word in my awareness, it changed everything. That's why I think it's such an important thing to name the energy you want to step into, name the life you want to create, name a certain things, because once you name it, you can nurture it in such a powerful way. So here's a personal example of how I integrate that into my daily life. Okay, so I'm a mom of three boys, which you can imagine comes with a lot of to-dos on the to-do list, right? Like, there are endless amounts of things that I do for my kids on a daily basis. And if you are a parent, then you know it's not always pleasant. A lot of times the things that we do with our kids could be an uphill battle. It can be like, you know, going to war every single day just to get them out of the house, to get them fed, to get them to do their homework, all the kind of stuff. Now, in my case, what is most important to me is that I want to create a life where I, one, have meaningful relationships with each one of my children. Two, I make memories with them. Memories that maybe when they're long gone, I can look back at and say, wow, that was blissful. And three, I want to enjoy my daily life. It's a huge value for me to be the kind of person that enjoys daily life. So how do you get that done with, you know, all the things that you gotta get done, right? Okay, so this year in particular has been a very difficult year for my youngest child. He hasn't enjoyed the experience of going to school. He had a big transition this year from one school to the other. It has not been easy. And waking up in the morning is not easy. Before, at night when he goes to sleep, he already starts getting sad that he has to wake up the next morning. Waking up for school isn't easy just generally, but it's worse because, you know, he's having a very difficult, tough year. And some years are tough. It's the way that it is, you know? So this is definitely a growth year for him. It's a resilience building year, but it's also a gritty year. It's a rough year for all of us. Him, that he has to go through it, and us, that we have to watch him go through it. Nonetheless, recently he asked me if I could wake him up half an hour before his usual wake-up time. He normally wakes up at 7. He asked me if I could wake him up at 6:30 so that he could take a hot bath before school started. And when we talk through it, in his mind, this may help him just have some time in the morning to do something pleasant before he has to go to school. He loves a hot bath. Now, I knew that it was not going to be easy to wake him up half an hour before his usual wake-up time, because it is not easy to wake him up at his wake-up time. So half an hour earlier is not going to be any easier. Nonetheless, I agreed to support him and wake him up and, you know, help him with his bath. So the first day that I do this, you know, at 6:30, my little wake up Ryan alarm goes off and I walk to the bath and I turn on the hot water. And as it's, you know, as the bathtub is filling up, I look at my life and I'm like, I am like this kid's butler, right? Like, here I am to draw a bath for this kid so that he can have a better morning. And I just laughed at it. I thought it was just like the funniest thing. And when I walk into his room, I tap him on the shoulder and I go, "Master, your bath is ready," with like a little accent. And he woke up and looked at me like, what is happening? But we both laughed because this is so ridiculous that I'm drawing a bath for my son in the morning. But you know, I wanna help him out. So ever since that day, every single morning, I walk to the bathtub, I turn on the hot water. Now I even put like essential oils in it. I've been really upping my butler game. And I go and when I wake him up, I give him a little tug and I always say exactly the same thing. "Master, your bath is ready." And every day he wakes up to that funny little ritual. Now, I was talking to him about it the other day and I'm like, "Is the bath helping in the morning?" And he said, "Well, it hasn't made me want to go to school anymore and it hasn't made the mornings easier, but I do have to admit that I wake up with a smile every day because of you walk in and say, Master, your bath is ready." And I thought, that's all we need. It's not perfect. It's not going to solve all his problems, but it's just a little something that is going to create a memory in his mind. And one day he's going to look back and he's going to realize that that difficult year was only temporary and that there was something beautiful that came from it. And he's going to remember it fondly. He's always going to have that core memory of his mom waking him up, treating him like a little master, that whose bath is ready. So yes, it's kind of silly, but it works. I think it works. Another thing I'm doing simultaneously is my middle child is, I have him on this supplementation program to help him with focus and brain development. And two of the supplements he has to take 30 minutes before he has breakfast in the morning. And this was, I was in a real pickle with this one. I'm like, I really don't know how I'm going to do this because he is not going to wake up half an hour before he has to. Like, that's just not going to happen. And he wakes up 10 minutes before he leaves the house and can barely scarf down breakfast. So this idea of waking him up half an hour before, giving him the supplements, having him get dressed, and then half an hour later having breakfast, it was just never going to happen. So I was actually talking to my coach about this situation, trying to figure out how I'm going to make this a reality. And she suggested to me that I give him the pills while he's sleeping. She's like, walk into his room and just kind of tap him on the shoulder and give him the pills and have him drink them before he wakes up. And then that way you don't have to worry about the timing of it. It's just done. So I decided to try it. And again, not an easy thing to do, to wake him up and have him drink these pills. It's not pleasant. These are not pleasant things that I have to do in the morning. But how I turned it into a ritual is that now when I walk into his room, I kind of tap him. I put the pills to his mouth, like, to signal that he wakes up. And then I speak greatness into him. I pray over him. I love you. You are meant for greatness. You're a beautiful soul. I love you with all my heart. I'll always support you. I'll always have your back. And I just speak things. You are destined to have a successful, meaningful, beautiful life. And I just kind of speak those little things into him. It takes me 20 seconds. I give him the pills. And then he'll hug me and say, I love you, mommy. And then he'll go back to sleep. And half an hour later, he'll wake up and we'll start the grind all over again. It's nothing major, but it has changed the energy with which I have to do this task. And just today, I got up and I walked over and I drew the bath. I went into my kid's room. I did the whole master thing. Then I went into the other kid's room. I gave him the little pills. And as I was walking back to the kitchen, I thought to myself, one day, these rooms will be empty. Those kids will be off to their lives. The house will be quiet. There will be no baths to draw. There will be no supplements to give. There will be no little jokes or humor. And I'm really glad that I am enjoying this moment, that I am making it matter and I'm making memories, because they're going to remember. Hopefully they'll remember. And I'll remember. And I wouldn't have just taken this time for granted. So that's what I'm doing in my daily life. The second mindset shift that supports aligned action is to procrastinate suffering. There is a very wise Stoic quote by Seneca that says, we suffer more in imagination than in reality. And I've noticed that suffering is actually an action that people take in their life regularly because they suffer in advance through worry, through fear, through trying to control the uncontrollable and all that kind of stuff. And that is not in alignment with the life that you want to create for yourself, typically. I can't imagine anybody that wants to create a life that is aligned with suffering or worry. But we tend to bring that action wherever we go. So what I suggest is that you take action and you make it more aligned by procrastinating the suffering and the worry that you would otherwise be doing in advance. So let me share this story with you that I think might put it into perspective. In 2020, my son was hired to do an acting job in South Korea. We learned about this in August of 2020, and he was gonna have to travel to Korea for 2 months in October of 2020. Now, this is in the middle of the pandemic. It's a crazy opportunity that we had, and I decided that I was gonna go with him, and I was gonna, you know, I was gonna let him pursue this dream. It was like a huge deal. So we are getting ready, signing the paperwork, doing all the behind the scenes details to get this kid to South Korea. And they asked me for a copy of my passport. And when I look at my passport, I realize that it is expired. So I'm like, okay, no big deal. I immediately go online. I fill out the application. I'm for expedited passport. I'm like, I have plenty of time. I have until October. You know, expedited passport, you can get it like in 60 days. No big deal. I get in the car and I go to a local post office. At the time, the post office was open already. But when I get there to give them the paperwork, the postal officer looked at me and laughed and said, "Honey, you're never, ever going to get a passport in time for this trip." I'm like, no, I just need an expedited passport. He's like, no, you don't understand. None of the passport offices are open to be able to offer expedited passports. Passports are taking a year to be able to be issued. You are never going to get this done. It's not going to happen. And I was like, no, you don't understand. I have to go to South Korea. My son got a job. He's like, well, unless it's a circumstance of life or death, they're not going to issue you a passport. So he gave me my little packet back and he said, if it were me, I wouldn't even bother sending this because once you send in your current passport and it's out of your hands, it's out of your control and God knows when you'll see it again. So I don't send the paperwork. I get back in my car and I'm like, oh my God, what have I done? How could I have let my passport expire? I was so upset. Actually, I don't even think the passport was expired yet. I think that it was going to be expired within a certain time frame from me traveling. I don't even remember. But I remember calling my mother-in-law and telling her the situation and saying, she's a travel agent, and saying, do you know of anyone that could help me? She said, well, I have to call a friend of mine. I have a friend that works at the passport office. Let me call her and I'll call you back. And she calls me back and she's like, they're closed. Like there's right now, there's literally nothing that you can do. But they suspected that the passport offices will open soon. So just let's hang tight and let's figure out maybe they'll open in time or whatever. But she also suggests that you call your congresswoman, your local congresswoman, and you explain the situation and you see if she can support you with this. Now, in that moment, I made a decision. The decision that I made was I'm going to go to South Korea. Life is rigged in my favor. Everything always works out. And this is going to work out. Something is going to happen where I'm going to get this passport and I'm going to be able to move forward. And I decided at that moment that I was going to proceed with my life under that assumption, knowing that it might not work out, that it might not be true. Now, I also created a backup plan. I talked to my mother-in-law and I said, hey, listen, if for whatever the reason I can't go, can you go? Will you go with my son? And she said, yes. And I said, okay, well, if the worst comes to worst, I'll send my mom, my mother-in-law. But I knew in my heart that I was going to go on this trip. Then I began to take proactive measures. I did contact my congresswoman. I did all sorts of stuff in order to expedite this passport. It took several months of not knowing whether I was going to go on this trip or not before I eventually did get my passport. But during that time, I had two choices. I could have sat in suffering of how bad life would be if the passport doesn't come through, worried about it, lost sleep over it, just stressed about it, thought of all the horrible things that would represent, my son being alone in South Korea without me, quarantined for 2 weeks. I mean, just all the things. Or I could do what was within my control, be 100% proactive, and compartmentalize the suffering and say, I will suffer if it doesn't happen. I knew that if it didn't happen, it would be terrible, but I chose not to participate in that suffering yet. I procrastinated it. And I had other things that I had to do in my life. So I continued about my business in other ways. And every time that little thought would creep up of that little fear of, what if I don't go to Korea? I would stop. I would reassess and I would say, life is rigged in my favor. Things always work out. I'm going to behave as if I believe that it is impossible for this not to work out. And then eventually it did. Now that leads me to the third mindset shift, which is make it happen or make it a lesson. You see, being proactive is taking on the personality that you are going to do everything that is within your control to make something happen. This isn't a let go and let God and I'm just going to sit in my couch and hope for the best. No, I am all about sitting in the driver's seat and moving forward. Take proactive measures. That's why I called the congresswoman. I called my mother-in-law. I would check every day to see when the passport office was going to open. I looked online for other options. You know, I did my homework. However, we sometimes confuse making things happen with doing our part to make things happen. That's why I subscribe to the principle of you do the work, you surrender the outcome. It is important to do your part to make something happen. But that does not mean that you are going to force results or hustle your way into a result when everything in the universe is working against you. There's a part of you that gets to let it flow, that gets to understand that sometimes things are taking us away from the direction we think we are meant to go. And there's a lesson in there. So it doesn't mean that I don't want you to be resourceful or gritty, but I do want you to notice if you are living your life constantly moving, constantly swimming upstream, moving your life as if there's winds coming at you and you are trying to push through those winds at every moment of the day. How do you let go? How do you stop forcing that? You realize that you're either going to make it happen or you're going to make it a lesson. If for whatever the reason, things do not work out the way that you intended them to work out, if you have done your part and things still work against you, if you realize that the things that are beyond your control are not working to produce the outcome that you wish you could produce, you get to realize that you are in training for something bigger, that this is teaching you something, that there's a lesson for you here, and that this is going to take you down an aligned path. It's not a straight line, but it is in cooperation and agreement with your destiny, with your highest version of yourself, with your journey. And when you realize that, you are always in alignment. So that's what I've got for you today. I want to go deeper into this. There's a lot more that I want to share. I do believe that taking aligned action and learning how to take aligned action is a game changer that will change the way you show up in the world forever. So for now, I want you to think about, what are you constantly repeating that you can turn into a ritual? What actions can you take that even though you don't know what the outcome is going to be, you get to procrastinate suffering on? And Are you going to be the kind of person that makes things happen or makes things lessons? And if you do all of those things, you, my friend, are a person who is taking aligned action. And that is going to make your life a life that inevitably leads you to bliss. Have a great one, and I'll see you next week. That's it for today's episode. Thanks so much for being here. I am deeply, deeply grateful for this time to connect. If you're loving this podcast, I'd love if you could support me by subscribing, rating, and/or leaving a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews help us so, so much. And if you know of someone who could really use a voice like mine in their head, please share this with them and let them know how much you care about their bliss. Now, if you are feeling called to dig deeper and really work on elevating your mindset, wellness, and your relationships to create a healthier, happier, and more meaningful life, then I invite you to schedule a 60-minute complimentary consultation with me. Let's have a meaningful conversation and see if working together is in our future. You can find the link to the calendar of consults right there in my show notes, but you can also connect with me on my website, carolinedeposada.com, or just send me a DM on Instagram, at carolinedeposada. Like my friend always says, the project is big and you're a part of it. So thanks for being here.